If you have markers, put one in Hebrews chapter 11. Put one in Acts chapter 3. Put another in Acts chapter 6. And then put one also in Daniel chapter 3. Praise you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. Daniel chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And then Acts chapter 6. You know, many people don't know this, but Julius Caesar was once a rebellious Roman. He first became a champion of the people by leading the Roman military towards the conquest of the great foreign lands. He advocated for reform for an aging Senate, and fearing his uprising, they demanded that he relinquish his army. But Caesar refused, and it marked the beginning of the civil war against Pompey. On the way, he had to cross the Rubicon River. No army had ever crossed that river with the intention of invading Rome. The Rubicon was not a large river. The Rubicon was more of a border. It was more of a barrier. So crossing the border with his troops meant that Caesar was breaking the law. It meant treason. It meant war. But Caesar and his army still walked through the river. After he crossed, Caesar told his generals to burn the bridges. To burn the bridges down immediately. There was no way out but forward. There was no way out but forward. Caesar said, "Lacta alia est." Lacta alia est. Which means the die is cast. There is no turning back. The die is cast. There is no turning back. Caesar said, "We are past the point of no return. Rome will be our next stop." When you burn a bridge, you also burn Plan B, Plan C, etc., etc., etc. Anything that opens the door for you to go back. When you burn a bridge, you have decided that only one thing matters, whatever that one thing is. When you burn a bridge, you are drawing a line in the sand that you will not cross. For a Christian, that line in the sand has to be faith in God and in what His Word declares. Period. Exclamation point. End of story. Faith in God and what His Word says, that's the only thing that should matter to a Christian. It is written, must be our mantra. It is written. In Hebrews chapter 11, is where we're going, we read about the faith of Old Testament believers who burned bridges. Who burned bridges to their old world and, as a result, endured persecution and even death, because they were unwilling to go back and renounce their God. They were unwilling to go back and renounce their God. Hebrews chapter 11, let's go down to verse 32. After talking about all of these men and women in from verses 6 on, 7 on, we get down and talk about their faith that they had and what they were willing to do because of their faith. We get down to verse 32, where it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, through what, ladies and gentlemen? Faith. Through faith. I want to go back up to verse 35. Verse 35 says, and there is a phrase in verse 35 that I want to draw your attention to. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. The next phrase is what I want you to focus on. And I want you to read it out loud. Not accepting deliverance. Not accepting deliverance. Ladies and gentlemen, these individuals made a deliberate choice not to accept deliverance. Not to get out of what was coming. They made a choice. I'm going to go through this anyway, even though I can get out. I like the way that the Amplified talks about this. It says, women received again. They're dead by a resurrection. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept release offered on the terms of denying their faith. Offered on the terms of denying their faith, so that they might be resurrected to a better life. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many in the church today who have accepted the offer of denying their faith by what they say and by what they do. I'm talking about Christians. And if you ask them, they don't think they're denying their faith. They don't think that at all. Verse 37 says, they were stoned and they were sawn asunder. I need to be careful because I don't want to paint too graphic of a picture because they got young ones in here. But think about how when you are preparing a nice size piece of beef and it's too much for one meal, what do? You cut it in half. Sawn asunder. And they were, and Amplify says, when it talked about they were tempted, they were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. You see, ladies and gentlemen, everything is about, are you going to stand for God or are you not going to stand for God? That's the only choice we have. And when it comes to standing for God, you have to know people are not going to be happy, even some Christians. Okay? Instead of avoiding or ending their torture by renouncing their belief and trusting God, these believers chose death. They believed that God would keep his promise to them of a better resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, we are already guaranteed a better resurrection. We're sons and daughters. Why then, if we are already guaranteed a better resurrection, are we not willing to stand and declare who our God is? Go back to verse 1. Because we heard about how all they did these things in faith. In faith. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the substance. Faith is the foundation. Faith is what we build everything on. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Everybody that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 had a good report. From whom did they have the good report? Go down to verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When the Bible says he must believe that he is, that he exists. That he is who he says he is. That everything that God says he is, we believe it. We believe it, ladies and gentlemen. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He keeps his promises to those who diligently seek him. Excuse me. Now I want to read verses 1 and 2 from the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. When you buy a house, what do they give you when you buy a house? A deed, a title deed. What does that communicate? It communicates that you own the house. Okay? The title deed says you own the house. Now, the Bible says faith is the substance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that you are hoping for. In other words, you own them. You may not see it right now, but you own it. Because you have faith. Now, faith is assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed in the senses. Faith says, I may not see it, but I have it. I may not see it, but I have it. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor, born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony, born to them and obtained a good report. What I wanted you to really see in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, these men and women burned any bridge that offered them a way out of torture and death if they renounced their faith in God. They burned any bridge that would allow them to go back and do that. We're going to take a look at some believers who burned bridges for their faith. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. That's going to be the first record. And we're going to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, let's begin with verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had also set up. Now, I want you to see who Nebuchadnezzar invited to this announcement. He invited people who had the authority to enforce what he wanted done. Are you following me? Okay? You don't see everyday people. You don't see common people. You see people who have the authority to enforce what he wanted done. Verse 3. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, the golden image, all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So you see what Nebuchadnezzar is telling all of these people who have authority. When you go back home, and when all of the music is played, and you see someone that is not bowing down to that image, bring them to me, because they're going to experience a fiery death. Okay? Now, this may seem unthinkable today, but we did experience something that was somewhat similar in its execution. Do you remember COVID-19? Okay. Federal and state officials had many people in full panic mode. Who can forget the stay-at-home order? The stay-at-home order, where we had to stay at home and practice physical distancing, even in our homes. Punishment included civil penalties like fines, orders to suspend business operations, and in some cases, businesses having their licenses revoked, all because of not abiding by the restrictions related to COVID-19. Okay? Criminal penalties included arrest and possible imprisonment. Ladies and gentlemen, these restrictions, what these penalties, what we went through, they were federal and state mandated. How is that any different than the mandate that Nebuchadnezzar gave about worshiping that idol? It's not. It's not. It's the same thing. In Wisconsin, for example, the punishment for violating the stay-at-home order was up to 30 days in prison or up to a $250 fine or both. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Ladies and gentlemen, we were prisoners in our own country. We were prisoners in our own country. We read the Bible and we think, oh, this is outlandish. This could never happen. It did. It did. Let's continue. Yes. Let's continue. Therefore, verse 7, at any time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. See, I also want to point out that they fell down, they bowed down, they prostrated themselves and worshiped. Okay? Wherefore, verse 8, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then verse 12. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, king, we have some disappointing news we need to share with you, but we need to do this anyway, okay? There are certain Jews, and the reason it hurts our hearts so much, Nebuchadnezzar, is because you have set them over the affairs of the province of Babylon. These are folks you put in office, Nebuchadnezzar. These are folks you put in high positions. We hate to have to tell you this, but it breaks our hearts. But we have to do this. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up? The word serve means to serve, to revere, to worship. And the word worship, it means to bow down, to prostrate. So Nebuchadnezzar said, you are not honoring my God the way you should. Verse 15. Remember, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, that the men and women, they were tortured, but they refused to accept a way out. Remember we talked about that? They refused to accept a way out of the torture. Verse 15. Now listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar still talking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and do what? Worship. Worship. You fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Ladies and gentlemen, that is a question many Christians cannot answer. They don't know the God who saved them. They don't know the God who loves them. They have an image of God in their head that fits their profile, that fits the God that they want to serve. Not the God who is actually God. Okay? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, and I love this, ladies and gentlemen, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Let me read to you how the Amplified shares this last part of this verse. The Amplified says, King, it is not necessary for us to answer you on this point. Do you know why? That bridge had been burnt. They burnt that bridge a long time ago. They said, you know, our minds are made up. We will not renounce our God even if it means dying for him. See, they burnt that bridge a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Oftentimes, when we talk about faith, when we talk about what God can do with faith, sometimes we don't realize that faith is not about what God does. Faith is about who we trust with our lives. It's not about what God does. It's about who we trust with our lives. And we see this in verse 17. It says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. This is the attitude that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. If it be so, our God is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But verse 18, ladies and gentlemen, is the faith verse. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, we will not serve thy gods. We will not worship the golden image which thou hast set up. God will either save us, or the next time we open our eyes, we will see him. They have burnt the bridge. Now, what was the bridge that they burned? A life that did not include wholeheartedly and without reservation serving God and worshiping God. Anything that would not allow them to do that was burned. Peter and John, Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, I'll get there a minute. Okay. We're going to begin with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, the man did, expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6, ladies and gentlemen, is you. Verse 6 is you. You may not realize it yet, but verse 6 is you. Then Peter and John, Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do what? Rise up and walk. Verse 6 is you. Such as you have the same thing Peter and John had. The new birth, the new spirit, the power that goes along with that new spirit that connects you with heaven. And when you are connected with heaven, you access heaven. So you can access heaven for people who need the access. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter accessed heaven, heaven, to care of the man. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you. It's inside of you. That is who you are. That is who you are. Don't be ashamed of that. The world needs to know who you are. The world needs you to access heaven for them. You have family members who need you to access heaven for them. Verse 7, and he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, and they knew that it was he which set for arms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. After healing the lame man, I'm going to go to Acts chapter 4. After healing the lame man, Peter and John began to preach salvation through Jesus and not the law. A big no-no. A big no-no. And it didn't sit well with the religious leaders. It didn't sit well with the religious leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not new news. It's probably not even news. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are a lot of people standing in the pulpit that if you go with them standing on the truth of God's word, they are not going to be happy. They are not going to be happy because the truth of God's word is not nearly as important to them as other things are. As other things are. I'll just leave it at that. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake, Peter and John, unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being thrilled, happy, overjoyed, beside themselves because they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. It says they were grieved. They were upset. They were ticked off. They were not happy with that, ladies and gentlemen. Because, see, they depended on the law to keep people in line. And Peter and John says, wait a minute. We serve a risen Savior. His name is Jesus. That's who we serve. The law is dead to us as Christians. The law, it's dead to us. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, and when it says set them in the midst, Peter and John were brought into the temple, and the religious rulers sat in a circle around them. That's the way the room was set up, where those who were doing the judging circled the one who were being judged. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders. Well, let me pause. Let me rewind. Back to verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Jesus faced the same question. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, by what authority dost thou doest these things? And who gave thee this authority? You asked Jesus the same question. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. I want to remind you of something, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. It says, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. For my sake. Not because you did something stupid, but you were brought to him for my sake, because you are standing for me, standing for my word. For a testimony, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought on how or what ye shall say. Ye shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Always remember that, ladies and gentlemen, that when you are standing for the Lord and you are facing situations and a response is required, it'll be there. The right response will be there. Okay? Verse 9. Peter still speaking. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole. So you can see that when we're in chapter 4, chapter 4 is really part of chapter 3, verse 1, all the way through. If you keep it, got to keep it all in context, all the way through. All of this is happening because of what happened in of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This is why all of this is happening. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, he didn't say whom the Romans crucified. He said whom you, the religious leaders, crucified. Whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. You want to know who gave us the power and authority? It's the same guy you questioned when you were getting ready to crucify him. That's the same guy who gave us the power and authority. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. This is the stone. Jesus is the stone. Jesus is the cornerstone you rejected, that you didn't want any part of. And yet, this man who's standing here, who was lame from his mother's birth, who's standing here holding on to us, it's because of the one you rejected. Can you say bridges have been burned? Okay? This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. In other words, there is no salvation in the law. There's only salvation in Jesus. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Period. End of story. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are not willing to say that, if you're not willing to take that kind of stand, God help you. God help you. Because you are turning your back on your father. You're turning your back on your father. After hearing Peter and John's response and looking at the man who had been healed, the religious leaders couldn't punish them because they knew the people would be outraged. So they threatened them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Let's jump down to verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. I love this. If you think we should bow to you rather than God, that's fine. That you can think whatever you want to think. But let me tell you something. We cannot. But speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot. That word, the word cannot, is a double negative, which means we refuse to, we will not, you can't make us no matter what you do. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to standing for Jesus, when it comes to recognizing who he is as God's son, you have to burn bridges in terms of refusing to let anyone try to bring you off of who Jesus is and what he means to you. If he means anything to you. There are a lot of Christians who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and it means nothing more that they nothing more than they have just accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We got one more. Acts chapter 6. Let's begin with verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That word not, ladies and gentlemen, is OU. It's an absolute negation of something. So the 12 said, to minister to the needs of the people in this way, that is not what God has called us to do. That is not what God has called us to do. It is not reason that we should leave the word and serve tables. They're not saying that serving tables was not needed. They're not saying that serving tables was not the right thing to do. They're not saying that serving tables was beneath them. They're saying God has called us to spend time in here so that we can feed you on from his table. Are you following me? Okay. Wherefore, verse 3, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power. Stephen was full of what? Faith and power. The power is dunamis. What that means is he was full of faith and he knew he had access to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I am repeating myself. That is you. That is you. If you believe that, that is you. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Why? He had access to heaven. You have access to heaven. Verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue. Where is the persecution coming from, ladies and gentlemen? The church. The church. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Why were they not able to resist it? They saw the miracles he did. How do you argue with a miracle, ladies and gentlemen? You know how you argue with a miracle? I'm not doing them. So how can you do them? That's how you argue with a miracle. I'm not doing it, so you can't be doing them either. I digress. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. I love this. I love the order. We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses. And God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered. Liars, liars, pants. They didn't wear pants. Robes on fire. And all this set in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it was the face of an angel. Now in Acts chapter 7, I encourage you that sometimes read Acts chapter 7. Love it. I mean, you're talking about a capsulized history of Israel in one chapter. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen reminds the religious leaders of Israel's history and how they constantly bumped heads with God through his disciples. Constantly bumped heads with God through his disciples. But it is what he says next in verses 51 through 53. And Sylvia, I wish your mom was here because she said this earlier. They caused them to lose their minds. She said that this one that caused them to lose their mind. And I'm going to go ahead and finish it. Up in here, up in here. Look at verse 51. Yeah, I know. He says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? It would probably have been easier for him to ask the question, which ones did they persecute? Then they would say, probably all of them. So which one did they not persecute? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been betrayers and murderers. He's talking to the religious leaders, ladies and gentlemen. He's talking to the religious leaders who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were convicted. They were filled with repentance. They were sad that they had treated the prophets that way. They were so upset that they just got on their knees to God and said, we're sorry. Oh, please forgive us, Lord. We're sorry. Really? Really? That didn't happen. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on them with their teeth. Now, I remember for so long, you used to think they wouldn't start biting on Stephen. And that's not what it meant. You know how you get so upset, you go, that's what they did to Stephen. That's what they did. Okay? But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And said, behold, I see heavens open and the Son of God standing on the right hand of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you stand for God, heaven may not always open so you can see it, but trust me when I tell you this, Jesus is standing with you. Trust me when I tell you that. This is the only time a human calls Jesus the Son of Man after his ascension. Stephen was reminding the religious leaders of the very words that Jesus had spoken to them during his mock trial. And I'm going, did I print that out? It is in Matthew chapter 26. I'll read it real quick. Matthew chapter 26 and it's verses 62 through 65. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds. Then the high priest rent his clothes. I wonder how much did he charge? What do you think? Dollar by the hour? What do you think? $5 per robe? 3 hour limit? I love you guys. You just allow me to be silly. I allow it. I love it. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. And this is exactly what Stephen had done in verse 56. The bridge that Stephen burned, the willingness to not stand boldly and without compromise for Jesus, that was the bridge that Stephen burned. Is that bridge burned in your life? Is that bridge burned in your life? What is a bridge in your life that needs to be burned? Could it be certain TV programs need to be burned out of your life forever? Could it be Facebook, YouTube, Instagram? Could that need to be burned out of your life? If not the actual apps, but certain places and certain things, certain content on the apps, do they need to be burned out of your life? What about some personal habits? For example, a willingness to let a day pass without spending time with Jesus. Is that something that needs to be burned out of your life? Is that a bridge that needs to be burned? And what about thoughts and attitudes toward people? Is that a bridge that needs to be burned? If your first desire for a person that you don't like is not for that person to know Jesus, guess who God has a problem with? It's not the person who doesn't know Jesus. It's you. It's you. Because, see, you are his son. You are his daughter. You should know better. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Thoughts, habits, attitudes of the heart are some of the hardest bridges to burn because they are so tied up to your emotions. And when something is tied up into your emotions, it is, say this with me, a stronghold. It's a stronghold. And you don't get rid of strongholds easily. You have to work at it. You have to make it a focus. So if that's a bridge that needs to be burned, let it burn. One last question. What determines our willingness to burn bridges for our faith? Our willingness to burn bridges, to be at odds with the world and some Christians, comes down to our faith, which is seen in our love for Jesus. Turn to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, look at verse 15. If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments, you got his commandments, hold it up. Hold it up. You got his commandments, hold it up. Okay, you got his commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. After his opening salutation to the church at Rome, the first thing the Apostle Paul does is talk about their faith and the impact it is having. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, he says, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, do you think that it is important that when a person talks about us, it talks about our faith? First. Anything else second? The people who know you, the people who love you, do they see you as a person of faith first? Or do they see you as something else first? We have to be men and women, young ladies, young men, of faith first. First. Everything else is a distant second. If we are not that first, we're not going to be burning many bridges, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to be burning many bridges. The question that I just asked, what determines our willingness to burn bridges for our faith? Look at Romans chapter 1. I'm still doing pretty good. Look at Romans chapter 1. We're going to close in Ephesians and Philippians. In Romans chapter 1, the question was, what determines our willingness to burn bridges for our faith? Romans chapter 1, look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, here we keep coming back to faith, ladies and gentlemen. The just shall live by faith. Are you just? It is not a trick question. Are you just? Why are you just? Jesus made us just. We were born into justness, righteousness. That is who we are. And so because that is who we are, verse 17 says that is how we live. We don't live by what we see. We don't live by what we hear. We don't live by other people's opinions. We live by faith, and faith cometh by spending time in God's word. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, and when you read Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 through 3, keep God in mind. Keep God in mind. Because what God is doing, he is telling you who he is. How do I know that? Let's find out. Chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Be ye therefore, what is the therefore there? It's called of what went before. Be ye therefore what? Followers of God. That word followers is imitators. Be ye therefore imitators of God. So if we are to be imitators of God, what do we need to read so that we can, what do we need to read to imitate? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, up through chapter 5, verse 1. That is how we imitate God. God is, he's telling us who he is, ladies and gentlemen. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sin, for a sweet smelling savor. Okay. I told an untruth. Notice I didn't lie, I just told an untruth. Same thing, okay? Go to Ephesians, go to Philippians, because I said we were going to end in Ephesians, but I want to end in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, this is Paul, those I counted loss for Christ. What was gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. How did he suffer the loss of all things? He burned the bridges that needed to be burned. I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. That I may acquire what Christ desires for me to acquire, because he purchased me. He apprehended me, and he apprehended me for a reason. Okay? Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I hadn't gotten there yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, burning the bridges which are behind. And what bridges are he burning? Whatever bridges that keep him from reaching forth unto those things which are before. Whatever bridge he needed to burn to keep him from reaching, he burned it. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. Ladies and gentlemen, the men and women who are not ashamed of the gospel, who are willing to proclaim the name of Jesus, and who are willing to say no to the ungodliness that we are seeing in the world today, they are the ones who truly love Jesus. And when we truly love Jesus, we will imitate him, and we will be willing to burn the bridges that need burning, because our faith in him and his word. Amen. Most oftentimes when you hear the phrase burning bridges, it oftentimes has to do with burning bridges with people. Ladies and gentlemen, never ever burn a bridge with a person. Why? Because you are already a son and daughter of God. And if you burn a bridge with a person who is not, they may not ever have a chance without you. So you're not burning bridges with people, but you are burning bridges with how things are, how people may think about what the book says. That's what you're burning bridges with. You're burning bridges to any other way of living other than the standards of this book. Can you imagine someone standing and talking to a person who is part of the LGBTQ and burning a bridge with that person because that's how they live? You know who God's going to have a problem with? He's going to have the problem with the Christian. Because, see, you are the one who can at least speak the gospel to them, with love to them. You don't burn bridges with them. You don't treat them as outcasts because of how they are living. You don't want them to live that way. So you want to give them Jesus the best way you possibly can. You burn bridges with people, concept, ways of thinking about God and His Word. That's what you burn bridges with. You never burn bridges with people. Never. Ever.